Well, good morning. Hey, I read a story. I don't know if you read this or not, but a story of a woman who had finished shopping, and she returned to her car. She opened up the doors, and as she began to put her groceries inside, she saw two men sitting in her car. Yeah, that starts your day out well, right? She dropped her grocery bags right there. She dug into her purse, and fortunately for her, she had a concealed carry permit, pulled out a pistol, and made the two men exit her vehicle, which they did. She didn't have to ask twice. They got out of the car, and she said they ran like crazy, and this woman, who was understandably shaken, she quickly then loaded her bags into her car. She jumped in her car. She wanted to go right out of there and drive to the police station to let them know what happened. But for the life of her, she could not get her car started. She was in the wrong car. She got out of her car. She found hers 4 or 5 spaces away. Yeah, loaded her groceries up, still drove to the police station where she reported to the police what had just happened, and the policeman behind the desk started laughing, and he points down at the other end of the desk, and there's two men that were giving their report about a crazy gray-haired lady with a pistol that jumped into their vehicle and made them exit. No charges were filed. It was a sincere mistake. She thought it was her car, but in actuality, it belonged to someone else. We're beginning a brand new series today called The Big S. Be careful when you're telling people about the new series. I've heard that a couple of times. We're doing the big what? The big S. No A, S. You'll figure it out later. But we're talking about stewardship. And it's amazing to me, something that God is so clear on, that so many of us, and I know for many years in my life, I didn't understand. The fact of the matter is, according to God, I am not an owner. You're not an owner. I don't know if that's a relief to you or if that makes you a little frustrated to know, but you're not an owner. According to God, He owns it all. He owns everything, including you. We're managers. I'm a steward. You're a steward. That's not up for even debate. You can like it, not like it, say, I agree, I don't agree. It doesn't change that the God that created you and I says we are. We've all heard the jokes, right, that you've never seen a trailer behind a hearse. You don't take anything with you. We're just going to pass it on to someone else, and at the end of the day, it's not even ours. And that's what God is really wanting us to understand, because it literally changes everything. And we live in a world that doesn't understand it. Matter of fact, if you go to get a loan or whatever, right, or many people have probably asked you, do you rent a home or do you own a home? I'll be like, I own a home. Well, me and the bank. I don't really own a home. Even when I pay it off, I don't own a home. According to God, I'm just a manager of that home. Do you own a car or do you lease a car? I own a car. No, you don't. We're managers. If you would, take out your message outline. We're going to go on this journey today, and it's going to be fun. I really believe it's going to be fun. And I hope, as we lay the foundation today for the next few weeks, that you'll really walk out of here with a vivid picture in your mind. The fact is, we're not owners. We're managers. Look at what David says in Psalm 24, verse 1 and 2. It says, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it. That means everything. The world and all its people, that you and I, belong to Him. For He laid the earth's foundations on the seas, and He built it on the ocean depths. Haggai narrows his focus somewhat when he talks about God's possession of wealth. Look at Haggai, verse 8 of chapter 2. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. And then if you look in the New Testament, You have the Apostle Paul that not only tells us that God owns the world and its wealth, but he also owns us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. Do you know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? That means that's where God lives. As a believer, God lives in me. If you're a follower of Jesus, then his presence lives in you through his Holy Spirit, whom you have received from God. Get this, you are not your own. You ever heard somebody say, it's my life, I'll do what I want? No, it's not. You're just sadly mistaken. You thought you owned your home too. You don't. You can argue with me, but it doesn't change what God's word says. You ever noticed if you've went to a very nice hotel, like maybe you travel to Chicago or New York for some weird thing, right? And they actually have stewards in those hotels that when you get there, like they're almost offended if you don't let them take your bags and carry them up to your room. So you entrust, get this, you entrust your bags with their safekeeping for a short period of time. In essence, God said, everything that you and I have, it's his. He's just letting us use some things for a period of time, which sounds, maybe depending on your process, like, man, that's a real downer. Thanks for that. But in essence, it's freeing. If you know. I remember being a kid, right? When I got old enough where my mom and dad would leave me at home, or my brother and sister. I had a brother that was 8 years older and a sister 4 years older than me, so I was the baby of the family. And when they finally moved out, right, I don't remember how old I was, but my mom and dad kind of wondered if they could trust me at home. That's kind of crazy, right? But my mom would always say, you be good. There's going to be kind of an inspection when we get home. We're going to know if you've messed up stuff, if you did what you wasn't supposed to. And I took that serious because my mama didn't play. If my mama told me she was going to check around and make sure, ask the neighbors, whatever she was going to do, my mom was going to do it. And so that painted a different picture for me. I knew what to expect when my mama got home, and so I acted most times accordingly, right? Not in a threatening way, but God's just saying, hey, my way works better than your way. And I'm going to let you know that, listen, you're not an owner. I'm the owner, and I own it all. I set the mountains in place. I set the oceans in place. All the gold and the silver is mine. The oceans are mine. The skies are mine. You're mine. Everything that you think you own, you don't own. You're just a manager, and it's mine. By the way, before you think, man, what a God, it's the same God that so loved you and I that he sacrificed his own son so that we who don't deserve heaven could have heaven as a gift because his son paid the cost that I deserve to pay. So if a God loves me that much, I don't feel bad saying, God, you're my owner and I'm a manager because you got my best in mind. You've proven it. So what does that say about a relationship to the owner and the stuff that's been entrusted to us for a season? If you're taking notes, fill this in. Number one is he's the owner and I'm the manager. Everything that I have, everything you have today comes from God. It's his. I don't own anything. You don't own anything. We act like we own. I'm just going to be honest. I do a lot of times. I act like I own and I have to be reminded. I'm just a manager. Look at Psalm chapter 89, verse 11. David said this, the heavens are yours and the earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it all. The heaven is yours. The earth is yours. Everything in the world, God, is yours. You created it. Which means I'm not an owner. I'm merely a manager. I'm a steward. Just temporarily entrusted to some things that don't belong to me. Now, does God want me to enjoy some of those things? Of course he does. What father wouldn't enjoy his kids on his dime, so to speak, enjoying life? But we can't lose sight that we're not owners. And if I don't realize this, if I think I'm an owner, I'm going to be in conflict constantly with God to do things my way, to not have to ask anybody because it's mine. I don't have to ask my neighbor how I treat my house. I don't. I don't have to talk to my neighbors about how I drive my car. about how often I clean my house, about what I do with my money. But yet I'm not the owner. Let me give you a little test. Just see if we're tracking. I'll be able to figure out who are people that grew up in church and who didn't grow up in church. How many of you are familiar with what a tithe is? If you made $500 this week and now you're in church, if you're following God's ways and you're a tither, how much do you owe God? 10% or $50? We would say that belongs to God. If you made $500 this week, you know how much of it belongs to God? $500. Because you're not an owner, and I'm not an owner. Now, here's where God's different than me. God simply set up a principle to see if we would put him first. And if we would acknowledge that we're not owners, that we're managers, that he's blessed us with everything that we have, including a brain and hands to make money and to live on a borrowed planet for a while. He said, if I give you 500 in recognition that I gave it to you, I'd like for you to give me the first tenth part back in recognition that I'm the one that gave you 100%. To which most of us, if you think about it, if I offered you $1 million today before you walked out the door and said, I got just one little string, if you want to call it a string, but it's really for you. If I gave you $1 million, would you hand me 100,000 of it before you walked out of the door? How many are taking the 900,000 and being grateful? That's kind of what God does every week. And yet, if you don't understand that you're a manager, if you think you're an owner, you're like, 10%? Are you kidding me? I can't afford to give the God that gave me 100%, 10%? Are you kidding? We can't even live off the 100% very well. To which I would say, how good your management skills? Right? Isn't this fun? But isn't it serious? It's like, really? I haven't even thought of that way. Because again, we live in a world. Do you own your home? You rent your home. I own my home. Many of us have been living a false truth. And yet God wants what's best for us. And if we don't get this thing about ownership versus stewardship down, manager versus owner, we're running down the wrong path. Look at this question in 1 Corinthians 4:7. I love the practicality of God's word. What are you so puffed up about? You ever seen anybody puffed up? They're pretty proud of how they turned out, what they've accomplished. What do you have that God hasn't given you? Ooh. The right answer is nothing. Nothing, even my own life. And if all you have is from God, why act as though you are so great? Why are you so puffed up? Why are you so cocky? Why are you so proud of how you've turned out? Aren't you really from God? And isn't everything that's been put into your hands really from God's hands? To which we'd answer both of those questions, right? Like, what do I have that God hasn't given me? Nothing. Why act as though you're so great? Note you've accomplished something on your own? I shouldn't. And then look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. He cautions us, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. You ever heard somebody, in so many words say that? I'm a self-made man. Pretty darn proud of me. I'm a self-made woman. I built this thing from scratch and I've made millions of dollars. Look at all I've acquired. Look at all I've built. Look at all I've done. And I've worked hard for it. Nobody handed it to me. You just don't quite get it. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me, but remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. According to God's word, according to our Creator, he owns everything, and you and I are stewards, we're managers. That changes everything, which brings us to point number two. As a manager, I have a divine responsibility. A divine responsibility. In other words, I've got a responsibility that's divine, that's been handed down to me as a manager, not an owner, by God. And so do you. He's given me stuff that belongs to him. And he wants me to manage it for him. That means I have to think as a manager, not as an owner, which is a complete different path of thinking. A manager oversees the owner's assets for the owner's benefit, right? If you work for someone who thinks they own their business, that could be a cool conversation on Monday, couldn't it? Go to your boss that owns your company and say, newsflash, let me tell you what I learned at Crossroads. You might sign these checks, but you don't own this place. I mean, I'm not telling you, you have to use your own discretion whether you say that. But as a manager, listen, I'm to manage the owner's assets in a way that he instructs me to that benefits him or fulfills his wishes, which affects every decision that I make if I'm a manager and not an owner, correct? King David, one of the most powerful men on earth, understood this owner-manager relationship. And after receiving a tremendous offering, David responds to God this way. They're building the temple, right? 1 Chronicles 29:14. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? And then it clicks. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We think we're giving you all this, but we couldn't give you anything unless you put it in our hands. David was thinking like a steward, like a manager, not like an owner. And then look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 5. Paul tells this Macedonian Christians, and he's responding to their sacrificial giving, and these were people that didn't have a lot. He said, our friends, we want you to know what God's grace has accomplished in the churches in Macedonia. We're wanting to let you know, kind of give you a statement about what your amongst everybody else's generosity is doing. He says, they have been severely tested by the troubles they went through. But their joy was so great that they were extremely generous in their giving, even though they are very poor. I can assure you that they gave as much as they could and even more than they could. On their own free will, they begged us and pleaded for the privilege of having a part in helping God's people in Judea. It was more than we could have hoped for. First, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. He's saying, how could they live so generously when they were so poor? Because they didn't see poverty as an exemption from giving. You see, finances is not the only way that we give. That's not the only way that only category I'm a manager of. That's one area for sure. They simply refuse to miss out on the satisfaction of giving sacrificially, which how interesting is that, that our Lord and Savior is the poster child for sacrificial giving. He so loved you and I that he sacrificed his own son. You ever heard that God loves a cheerful giver? You ever wondered, like, why? Why does God love a cheerful giver? I saw a bumper sticker that says God loves a cheerful giver, but he'll even take it from a grouch. I thought that was pretty cool. But look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I think there's no way to be a cheerful giver unless you understand the ownership versus manager thing. I really don't. Because I'm never going to be cheerful. If I think it's an owner and I'm giving my stuff away, there's something about my human nature that doesn't feel real good about that. There's some of us that we've convinced ourselves, right, no matter how much we make, that we still don't have enough. And if I had more like somebody else has more, then I'd probably be more of a cheerful or more of a generous giver. And which I learned many, many years ago from Orville Marillat, who lived in this community and done many, many things, that was a multi-millionaire, that said, listen, if you won't give God $2 if you have 20, you wouldn't give him $2 million if you had 20. You don't become generous when you get more. You just become more of what you already are. That didn't set well with me because I knew me. And I was like, ooh, there's a lesson there. There's a lesson there. God loves a cheerful giver because cheerful givers understand this whole idea of stewardship, that we're not owners, that we're managers. And if I'm managers and I'm to manage based on my owner's values, then as he so loved the world and gave to impact people, then I want a part of my life to be in, set up in such a way that I give in a way that impacts people. And I'm not talking just finances. We're talking many areas, and we're going to talk about that over the course of this series in much more detail. Today, again, we're laying the foundation. But as you heard earlier, if you weren't here last week, we had 11 people that had signed up for baptism. Six in the first, five in the second. We had baptized six in the first. We baptized four in the second service that were signed up. But I also taught on baptism and what it is and what it isn't. And if that was your next step, because you've given your life to Christ, but you hadn't went yet public with your faith, today's your day. And for those 10 people, that was their day. But we gave people, because we were prepared for people to step up if that was their next step, and to go change into brand new clothes that we gave them to be baptized in, so they could get baptized and then change back into their own clothes. And not, we didn't baptize 11 people, we baptized 26 people, because people stood up and said, that's my next step, and they put their faith in action. And can I just tell you, if you were here, or maybe you watched at home, although I gotta believe there's no way it could equal what we experienced here with the wet hugs and the stories and the pockets of people that were talking afterwards, but either way, if you witnessed that, you witnessed something that you may never ever see again in your life, not because it's something special to Crossroads, because that was a God thing. That wasn't a human being thing. And the coolest thing is, I went away on cloud nine. Matter of fact, one of the young men that was baptized, I don't know his name, and I wouldn't call it out anyway, because we're not going to single you out or embarrass you. But you know what he said? He just said, I can't stop smiling. I just can't stop smiling. This is the best day of my life. I don't really want to go home because I just want to keep smiling. I'm like, man, I love your smile. I'm going to sit here and just look at your smile for a bit, because it was so cool. But you know what I did on the way home? I bawled like a baby, and I thanked God. I thought, man, if everyone could experience and hear a little snippets of their story, which we do true Crossroads stories, we're going to hopefully capture some of those, because some of the snippets of stories that I heard behind the scenes and one personal conversation I had with a young man that shared his story, listen, when you hear what God is doing in people's hearts and lives, and you mix it with being a manager and a steward and not an owner, and you realize that what you owe that 10% or whatever it is, if you're not giving regularly, can I just tell you that you're missing out on some of the biggest blessings that we're going to literally celebrate for eternity, because your generosity, not just your gifts financially, but your time and your talents that you share here, God is using to change real lives of real people. So thank you. And God would say, that's what I want. That I'm not an owner that's selfish. I'm an owner that so loved you, I gave, and I want you to be like me. But that's a different path than the world leads us down. So God is the owner. I'm the manager. As a manager, I have a divine responsibility. And number three, as a manager, I will give an accounting. In other words, because I'm not the owner, because I'm a manager, God gives us kind of the cliff notes on how this is all going to come down one day. And we're going to look at some of these stories in this series. I'm not going to get into all those today, but basically what he's telling us is, I'm going to stand before the owner one day, and I'm going to give an accounting of what I've done with that he's put it and entrusted into my care. I'm going to give an account of what I've done with my time. I'm going to give an account to God, my owner, of what I've done with the talent or the talents that he's given me. You ever said, man, I wish I could sing like her, or do that like that person or whatever? You know what? I'm just kind of thankful. God, I wrestle. Do I have really talent, right? Like how many? I'm kind of glad that I might only have one or two, because I'm only going to have to give an account for what he's given me. I don't have to give an account for what he's given you. So don't want to be like somebody else. If you're like, ooh, I'm not that talented. Good. Just be. You're just going to be accountable for what you're good at. How much time you have. The older you live, the more time you got to explain. Did I do it to honor God? Did I understand? Listen, the earlier in life that we understand that we're not owners, that we're managers, the better off we are. Right? You know what I'm so thrilled about? Do you realize how much great ministry happens in our community? And we partner with some local ministries here at Crossroads on a regular basis, because they do every day what we can't do every day, and they do great what we couldn't do as great, and so we partner. And so that's another way that you may not even realize the blessing that you're passing on to other people. But one day, you know what? I have no doubt. One day, those of us that know Christ, we're going to gather around the table, And it's going to be one of those meals that this is me. I believe you can eat and eat and eat and you're not going to gain a pound if that's the way it works. Because it's heaven. It's perfect, right? And meals could go for hours and hours and hours and hours. And we're going to sit and we're going to listen to the Savior. And we're going to listen to testimony after testimony of someone that we've never met that said, because of you, because of your generosity, because of the way you serve, because of the way you prepared a baptism, because of your partnerships and what you gave when you brought in items, when you donated money, when you did these things, I was a part of this ministry. I was an addict on the street and you did this. And you're saying, I didn't even know. Well, yeah, because you were a part of this. And God's going to show us the tapestry. You ever seen something that a grandma something made and on the front, it looks very beautiful and you turn it and it's got all these crazy threads and knots and all that. I believe that's what God's going to do. He's going to show us. And so God's kind of given us the answers to the test before the test comes and said, listen, I just want you to know, news story, you're not an owner, you're a manager. But there will be an accounting. You can't, listen, even God can't change yesterday. But what I can do today with the information I have is I can start to live different. And it's a different path than the rest of the world's living. It just is. Look at Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 12. You have no right to criticize your brother or look down on him. So don't go, well, I know somebody's got a lot more than me, and they don't. Remember, don't worry about your neighbor. You imagine, you know how quick Facebook would die if we didn't talk about somebody else? Just, that was free. Remember, each of us will stand personally. You're always in a group, you won't be. Before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every knee. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess to God. Yes, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Each of us. Now, I don't believe for a second God writes that to put a bunch of fear in us. My mama, when she told me she was going away and leaving me and there would be a little inspection when she came home, was kind of being my friend at the factory and just said, hey, listen, you might be on your own, but there will be signs of what you did when you were alone. And I'm going to look. God was saying, listen, I want you to get it. I love you so much. I gave my son for you. I want you to know that life is bigger than what you think it is. There's a real plan here. You're part of the plan. I loved you. I created you unique. No one is like you. I gave you certain talents. I've given you time on this planet, in this time in history, to do something for my honor and for my glory that one day we'll celebrate, and you won't see the whole picture, but I want you to do this. I want you to realize you're not an owner. I'm the owner of it all, including you. But I want you to live accordingly. And he's going to say, what'd you do with the life that I gave you? You had 70 years. You had 80 years. You had 43 years. I put this kind of resources in your hand. I put this kind of talent into your heart and into your brain. I gave you skilled hands to do this and this. I know you made a living, and I'm glad you did because I gave you that for part of that. But what did you do beyond that? Did you see the big picture that all of this is going to go away, and the only thing that's going to live forever is God and people? How did you use that to further my kingdom? That's what he's going to ask. So we're kind of like looking at the answers to the test before the test is here. You can say, man, I wish I'd have done this 20 years ago. You can't, but you can start today wherever you're at, and we're all somewhere. And there's some areas of inspection, and we're going to talk about those areas through this series, but I've already kind of given you some of them, right? What do we do with our time? What do we do with our talents? What do you do with your body? Do you realize your body is something you're accountable for? It says it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12 talks about what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. There's a lot to that story. In the Old Testament, they killed things and it was a dead sacrifice. A dead sacrifice will stay on the altar. Once you kill it, it's not going anywhere. He said, we're living sacrifices. I get to decide every day if I'll be used for God and his honor and his glory, if I'll do my own thing. But once I understand that I'm not an owner, I'm a manager, it triggers my head and my heart in a different way. Ephesians chapter 5 talks about walking as the wise, not as the unwise. But people that are wise, that use the most of their time because they know. And he says, because the days are evil. So don't be foolish. Don't live like the rest of the world because you know different than the world. And understand what the Lord's will is and do that because you're managing my stuff, and I've given you some instructions of how. He wants us to do it for His honor and for His glory. There's two distinct paths in life, right? God says, my ways are higher than your ways. It's higher than the world's ways. The world talks about being an owner and being prideful of being an owner. I'm not an owner, I'm a manager. And so are you. But every day I get to decide how I live. You know, there's two trajectories for life, right? You can be an owner, and that leads somewhere, right? Every step I take gets me closer to the top. And aren't we good at climbing the ladder of success? Look where I'm at. Look where those peons are. You guys work for me. Do what I say. I sign your checks. Right? And it leads somewhere. But how does it match with what Scripture says? Jesus said things like, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul? That's somewhere, right? God's calling me to get down. But isn't that the truth? This leads somewhere. I didn't have that built in, by the way. But then there's another path. Isn't there another path? That God says, my ways are not the world's ways. Matter of fact, you can see the further I climb up, the further these two points get away. And God says, I'm the one that created you. I'm the one that knows you. I'm the one that made you unique, a one-of-a-kind masterpiece. I've put abilities in your heart. I've given you a brain. I've given you hands to be creative. I've given you financial resources. But you're a steward. You're a manager. And so every day when you get up, listen, we're walking in. We're going towards something different than the world is. These two paths get farther and farther away. And you know what I know about you? Because I know about me. When you see it like this, when you hear it like this, you're like, that certainly makes sense. But you know what I know about you? Because I know about me. Even as a follower of Jesus, it's tough to be in this world, but to live as if I'm of a different world, which is what God says. And so every day we wrestle. And some of us... Don't we live like that? God didn't bless me with long enough legs to go as high as some of you would want. But don't a lot of us live this way with one foot on the world and one foot on God's plan? And some days I get a little sucked into what the world wants me to do because there's something in my heart that's a sin nature that makes me a little greedy and a little selfish. And a little bit about me and mine, rather than thinking that I'm a manager and a steward. Some days I forget that. And some of us kind of like the benefit of both. So we kind of live like this. And I know some of you are a little freaked out that I'm standing here like this. And it scares you a little bit, even though you're not up here, I'm up here. But can I tell you something honestly? In some ways, it should scare many of us that know Him and that we're living like this. Some days I just want to do this. Other days I just want to do this. But God wants me to do this. You see, I can't face Him and do things His way without turning my back on the world, ignoring what they're teaching because I'm so focused on the God who's given me everything. But let me be honest with those of you that want to live this way. You can't keep doing this without having your back towards what you know about God. Now for my wife and the rest of you that are freaked out, which way are you going? This is my heart. And I pray for you and your heart that if you forget all the rest of what happened today, what you don't forget is the truth of the matter is God is the owner. You and I are managers. And one day we will give an account. And that's not to scare you or to scare me. Jesus just wants us to know, listen, you're going to be pulled by the world, but that world is not your home. It's a temporary place. Your home will blow this place out of the water. He can't even put it into words enough for us to understand. And if you live 100 years in this life and everything goes your way, which it won't, compared to millions and millions of years in the presence of the God that created us and the heavens and the stars and the mountains, where there's never another tear, there's never another addict, there's never another divorce, there's never more pain, no more hospital stays, no more gossip, no more murder, no more wars, no more politics. He's for us. He's for us. And his ways are higher than our ways. And you may not understand it, but that you understand. And I'm telling you, as I look back on my life, every heartache that I have that was caused or that I had impact on, I was on the wrong ladder. By far. My biggest financial mistakes, problems, I was on the wrong ladder. I was buying the wrong things, listening to the wrong people. I'm not an owner, and nor are you. This ladder leads to life and life abundant. That ladder promises much, delivers little. Proverbs 14:12, the book of wisdom, says there's a way that seems right to man, mankind, ladies, but its end is the way of death and destruction. That ladder talks big, it delivers little. This one gives us the answers, what really matters and the values. You'll never go wrong climbing that one. God is for us. He loves us. He loves you. And he knows how life is best lived. It's lived that way. But we're not owners. Servants. Stewards. Would you bow your heads with me? Listen, if the examination were today, if your creator, your owner, called you to give an account today, what would the records reveal? What would they say about what you've done with your time, your talents, your treasures, your body, your mind, your hands, your love, your hate? And if you don't like what some of those answers are, the good news is today is not that day. I don't know how many days it is yet, but today's not that day. But if today we can walk out of here with a giant wake-up call, it can change the rest of your life. It can change your family's life. It'll change your kids, your grandkids' life. It can change your place of business. If you're an owner, how cool would it be to go back to your business that you thought you owned, but you go in tomorrow morning as a manager, as a steward, saying, God, this is yours. And I want to live according to your principles, your way, to bring honor and glory to you. Listen, if you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus, can I tell you the greatest next step for you is to turn over ownership of your heart and your life to the one who so loved you that he sacrificed his son for your life. So that if you would recognize that you're walking the wrong direction, you've been climbing the wrong ladder, you would stop and you would repent, which means to change direction. It means to do an about face. It means to have a realization that the way I'm traveling is the wrong way. And so, God, you've got my attention, so I'm repenting. I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry for all I've did wrong, for all the hurt that I've caused, not only in myself, but in other people. And I turn to you by faith. And I ask you to come into my heart. And I receive you as my Savior, because I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm not perfect. And I receive you as my Lord, which means you're the owner. You're the boss. And from this day forward, I'm going to climb this ladder for your honor and for your glory. I'm going to use everything you put in my hands, my time that I have left, my talents, my resources, my hands, my heart, my brain, my body, for you. Because one day, this will all go away. There'll be an accounting. And then all of us that know you will spend eternity, not 1,000 years, not 10,000, not 10 million, for eternity with the God that so loved us. If that's you today, would you make this your prayer in your heart? Say, God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I've done many things to hurt myself and hurt others. And right now, I make the decision by faith to repent, to turn from doing life my way and the world's way, and turn to you. Jesus, forgive me. Cast my sins as far as the east is from the west, like you say you will. Come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior, my Lord. Adopt me into your family, as you say, that anyone who will confess Jesus is Lord, you'll give the gift of eternal life. Jesus, I receive that by faith today. And from this day forward, I want to learn to love you like you love me. And I want the rest of my life to be lived as a manager, not as an owner, because I'm not. But God, from this day forward, you own my life. You've owned it all along. Today, I've just recognized it myself, that I was bought with a price, and that price was your son's life. I say thanks. We give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And God, what I pray that we all that know you live the rest of our life towards is being managers. So that one day when we do stand before you with this accounting, that you look us eyeball to eyeball and say, well done, you good and faithful servant. We love you. Thanks for loving us first. In your name, amen.